The question was asked, being that we're taught certain reasons behind certain mitzvot, namely the mitzvah of korbanot, it seems, has a certain element that it's there to combat the desire to do idol worship. So then, today that the desire for idol worship is virtually non-existent, as far as we can tell, at least among the Jewish people and among Western civilization, it seems like it's non-existent. What happens with this whole mitzvah of bringing korbanot? So, before we deal with this, we really have to deal with a more basic question. The Gemara says that Hashem purposely hid the reasoning behind mitzvot, because he said, if I start to explain to them why I want them to do different things, then they'll start telling me, yeah, so in this case it doesn't apply, and in that case it doesn't apply. They're going to like outsmart my mitzvot, so to speak, in their own minds, and they're going to mess up. Proof of the pudding is, we have three mitzvot where Hashem did spell out the reason behind them, and the wisest man on earth messed up on these mitzvot. You have the mitzvahs of a king. It says, lo yal belo nashim. You shouldn't have too many wives, because they'll get them all confused. You shouldn't have too many horses. He'll end up sending people back to Egypt. You shouldn't have too much money. And Shlomo HaMelech transgressed all three, thinking that he, well, in his case, it wouldn't apply. His wives wouldn't get him all confused. He wouldn't send people back to Egypt. And the Torah tells us that he erred, and he ended up messing up on all three. The Torah was smarter than he was. So that's the classical case that the Gemara quotes in Sanhedrin, where Hashem says, I'm not going to tell you why I told you to do the mitzvos, because if you think you understand, then you'll also think you know when to stop applying the mitzvos. You'll say, in this case this doesn't apply, in that case that doesn't apply. So there's an aspect that in biblical mitzvos, we do not say time of the crow. We don't start giving reasons. This is why we do this mitzvah, and that's why we do that mitzvah. So then the question arises, then why do you read Sefer HaChinuch? And he gives you all kinds of reasons. And you read the Rambam, and he gives you all kinds of reasons. And the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim, and the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka. We have all kinds of reasons being given. So sometimes the reasons were given because, like the Sefer HaChinuch himself writes, there's an aspect that Hashem wanted us to view the mitzvahs positively and have a certain appreciation for the mitzvahs. So when we say logical reasons for the mitzvahs, we're not saying that's the ultimate reason why Hashem gave us that mitzvah. What we're really saying is there's an aspect where I can understand this mitzvah on my level. Have I reached the depths of understanding the logic behind why God gave us which mitzvah? No. But I have reached a level where I can understand certain things. So the Rambam says on the mitzvah in the Torah, not to shave off our peyos. So he says the ministers of pagan worship used to shave off their peyos. That was the haircut that they did. So we have a mitzvah not to do it. Okay. But today I don't think they do that. Is that does that mean the mitzvah changed? No, the mitzvah did not change. Whenever we discuss reasons, we have to know that in almost all instances, the reasons that we give, including the Rambam and Mor Nebuchim, are reasons that are just to make it more palatable to us. It's from our perspective we can understand certain things. There are instances where a biblical mitzvah has reasons which are biblical, which the Torah gives us. You have certain mitzvahs that work out that way. And then we do apply the reason. The Torah says, sit in a sukkah, so you remember I took you out of Mitzrayim. So we don't just sit in a sukkah. When we sit in a sukkah, we have to remember we're sitting in a sukkah to remember that. The Torah says, put on tefillin so that you know that I took you out with an outstretched hand, that I run the world. So the reasons that it says in the Torah are part of the mitzvah. When a person wears tefillin every day, he has to have in mind, I'm wearing tefillin to remember that Hashem took me out with an outstretched hand, and that Hashem runs the world, and I'm supposed to focus all my desires and my thoughts to the service of Hashem, because the Torah gives me those reasons with the mitzvah. There are a few instances where reasons are a part of the halacha of a mitzvah. We do have such cases. We have cases where the Torah left it up to Chazal to quantify a mitzvah. And we have that too, like on Chol HaMoed, where the Torah gives us indications you could do work on Chol HaMoed, and the Torah gives us indications you can't do work on Chol HaMoed. And basically, what the Torah was saying is it's up to the rabbis to tell you what you could and could not do on Chol HaMoed. When it comes to a carcass of a dead animal, an animal that wasn't shechted, so in one place the Torah indicates you're not supposed to derive benefit, and in another place the Torah says you could derive benefit. That's left to the rabbis to define when you could and when you can't. We have certain instances where the rabbis were given a certain responsibility to define a mitzvah, where it applies. But all in all, most of the time, whatever reasons we give, whatever the reasons the Rambam might give in the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, we assume those reasons are more l'saber et ozen, the reasons to make the mitzvahs more palatable to us, but they're not really all-encompassing reasons. As you can see, with almost every reason that you find, if you look at the details of the halacha, it doesn't answer all the details of the halacha. Take any mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch. When I was a kid, I always used to bug my father about this. We used to have a seder at the Shabbos table, we'd learn Sefer HaChinuch, and every mitzvah, after he'd give us the reasoning of the mitzvah, then he'd give us some details of the mitzvah, and then I'd start saying, yeah, but this doesn't fit with the reason, and that doesn't fit with the reason. I'd spend my Shabbos mornings pointing out how it doesn't work. And after many years, I realized, right, none of these reasons are really all-encompassing. They're not the ultimate reason. But on some level, they give us an understanding. That being said, I welcome you to read Rav Kook's work, Chazan HaTzimchanut Vashalom. And Rav Tzadok HaKohen also has a work on vegetarianism. Somewhere within his Pirush on Torah, I don't remember on which parsha, Rav Tzadok HaKohen also discusses this concept of vegetarianism, and he also speaks about a direction that maybe from the Torah's perspective, there is a direction that the Torah really views vegetarianism as an ideal world, where we don't consume one another. And there's also a medrash quoted by the Sephorno in Parshas Pekude, that the medrash says, why is it that the menorah and the shulchan are called tahor? Those are the only two instruments, the only two vessels in the Beis Hamikdash that are called pure, because it says at the end of the day, every other instrument has to do with blood. And, there's an element of purity that even though you're using the blood for karban and it's Hashem's mitzvah and you're getting close, but there's a level where where the shulchan and the menorah that have no contact with something that cost an animal a life, that they have no contact with the blood, they are called tahor. Everything's tahor, yeah, but that's a different level of tahor. So there is some direction along those lines, but I don't know more than that.